Good morning. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. And once again, we thank you for your presence here. We come seeking you, Lord. We come seeking your word. We come seeking your ways. And always your presence, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bless your people today. I pray, Lord, that you'd instruct us, encourage us, and fill us with those things of you. Open up heaven for us this morning, Lord. Open up your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd open up our hearts to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Hosea. He is the first of what they call the minor prophets. I don't think there's any such thing as a minor prophet. Hosea, to say he's a minor prophet is... Anyway, you know, some commentators say that he prophesied for like 40, 50 years. Others say he prophesied for 60 years. Matthew Henry claims that, or says that, our Jewish tradition says it was close to 90. God used him, and God asked of some things for him to do, which we might wonder about. It's about redemption. Does everybody know what redemption is? We learn that as a child, don't we? When I was little, the Pepsi bottles, I got 2 cents for each one. Redemption. It's when the store buys them back. What a lesson. To be bought back. God does that for us. Exodus 23 through 6, or 2 through 6. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What is the first commandment? You're kind of right. The first commandment actually starts with the first verse I read. The first commandment is, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me, before me. It's a commandment to believe. It's a commandment to receive. And it's a commandment to obey. It speaks about having no other gods before me. That does not mean that we prioritize, we put gods first among all our gods. It means you shall have no other gods in my face. No other gods, period. idolatry. It plagued Israel all its existence until, well, maybe it still does. They don't actively serve Baal or some of the other gods that they served, but yet they serve worldly gods, you know, like we do. What is idolatry? It's unfaithfulness. It's adultery. Harlotry. Whoredom. How does it affect God? I'm going to read a verse that I've read before, I've shared before, that really had quite an impact in my life when I realized what it was I was saying. It's from Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 9, and God is speaking. I am crushed by their whorish heart, which has departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a-whoring after their idols. I am crushed. We break God's heart. And if that doesn't break your heart, then you need to have him remove that heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. It's okay. You can do it. I had somebody make a comment about me the other day that said I was a pushover. But you know what? I've been praying for a softer heart. We all should. Sometimes we have to give in to what other people want. What is an idol? What is another god? Charles Spurgeon says, whatever a man depends upon, whatever rules his mind, whatever governs his affections, whatever is the chief object of his delight is his God. Whatever holds that much importance in his life. You know, reading Genesis chapter 22, and God wanted Abraham to sacrifice his son. Why? Well, obviously it shows us a lesson about that relates to Jesus Christ, because it's about a father that sacrifices son. But I think there's more to it. I think that maybe that son who Abraham had when he was 100 years old, I think it meant more to him than maybe it should have. Could that have become a god? If you're 100 years old and you finally have the son that's promised, it's going to mean a lot to you. But can it mean too much? Some of us can have pickup trucks that mean too much. Maybe that cheeseburger you had for dinner last night. It doesn't mean we're not supposed to have nice things. But we need to keep things in perspective. The book of Hosea has two themes running through it. God uses what is happening to Hosea as an allegory, a teaching lesson for Israel and for us. Hosea chapter 1. Verses 1 through 9. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord, by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Jezreel, by the way, means scattered. And that's significant. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo-ruhamah, which means no mercy. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, and I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Judah was a couple hundred years behind Israel in its idolatry. It got there. In fact, God said that it was even worse. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord, their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-ami, which means not my people. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Judgment. But it's only temporary. Because he goes on to provide a promise in the midst of his judgment. Verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Chapter 2, verse 1. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Say unto your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy. My people have obtained mercy. He goes on from there to talk about, he gives a plea for repentance, because that's where it all starts, doesn't it? And I'm going to read verse 2. Plead with your mother. My microphone, I think. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not your wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day she was born, and make her as a wilderness. I have a spare. Okay. Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shameful. For she said, I will go after my lovers, and give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Hosea married a woman named Gomer. It's argued about whether she was already a harlot or whether she was a virtuous woman at the beginning. In verse 1, it said that a daughter of whoredom. But she was a daughter of Israel, and all of Israel were involved in their whoredom. So it could mean that she was a virtuous woman. She had three children. After she had three children, apparently she picked up with a neighbor. She committed adultery. So she left Hosea, and apparently the relationship with the neighbor didn't last because she ended up selling herself in the marketplace. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This was our opening scripture this morning. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. She's being compared to the children of Israel because they're doing the exact same thing that she did. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley and a half omer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. He bought her back. We see here an incredible love of a man for a woman. He searched for her. He sought her out. Can you imagine the shame of buying back his wayward wife? Going to the marketplace and purchasing that which should already belong to him? To make things even worse, he didn't even have the full purchase price. Leviticus tells us the purchase price for a slave, a male slave, is 50 pieces of silver, 50 shekels. For a female slave, it's 30. He only had 15, so he had to make up the difference with barley. Barley is the cheapest grain that they had. It's the first fruit, the first out of the ground in the growing year. Can you imagine the shame the Lord felt being reviled, beaten, and nailed to a cross? See, I just changed gears a little bit there, didn't I? How much was Jesus sold for? 30 pieces of silver. Psalm 22, verse 6 says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of people. All those who see me ridicule me, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusts in the Lord, let him rescue him, let him deliver him, because he delights in him. He says, I am a worm and no man. He was sold for the price of a female slave. Do we see similarities here beyond that? The first fruit out of the ground was also what Hosea used to buy back his wife. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height of his love. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The breadth, the width, how wide is his love? It's wide enough to cover everybody. How long is his love? From everlasting to everlasting. It always was and it always will be. How deep is his love? It's deep enough to reach down into the deepest pit and pull us out of it, like he did for me. Like Hosea did for Gomer. How high is it? It reaches all the way to heaven. Wow. You know, even his love is shaped like a cross, isn't it? We see it there. I do. God loves you. His love never ends. You may spurn his love, yet he continues to love you. You may not have time for him, but he continues to love you. You may ignore him, but he continues to love you. You may turn a deaf ear to his pleas, but he does not stop calling you to him. He loves you regardless of who you are, where you are, or what you've done. The blood that was shed on Calvary will cleanse all sin. Have you ever heard someone say, well, if I went into that church, the roof would cave in? I don't think it's ever happened, has it? I know it didn't happen when I walked into the church. It's not going to happen. First Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If he bought us, we're his, right? 1 Corinthians 7:23, you are bought with a price. In Hosea 3, verse 2, it says, so I bought her to me. He bought her back. He redeemed her. She was his by right of marriage. And she was his by right of redemption. I'm going to read a story about a little boy. This little boy built a sailboat. He built the sail and had it all fixed up. He tarred it and painted it. He put it into the lake and pushed it, hoping it would sail. Sure enough, a wisp of breeze filled the little sail and it billowed and went rippling along the waves. Suddenly, before the little boy knew it, the boat was out of his reach, even though he waded in fast and tried to grab it. As he watched it float away, he hoped maybe the breeze would shift and it would come sailing back to him. Instead, he watched it go further and further until it was gone. When he went home crying, his mother asked, "What's wrong? Didn't it work?" And he said, "It worked too well." Sometime later, the little boy was downtown and walked past the secondhand store. There in the window, he saw the boat. It was unmistakably his, so he went in and said to the proprietor, "That's my boat." He walked to the window, picked it up, and started to leave with it. The owner of the shop said, "Wait a minute, son, that's my boat. I bought it from someone." The boy said, "No, it's my boat. I made it, see?" And he showed him the little scratches and marks where he hammered and filed. The man said, "I'm sorry, son. If you want it, you have to buy it." The poor little guy didn't have any money, but he worked hard and saved his pennies. Finally, one day, he had enough money. He went in and bought the little boat. As he left the store holding the boat close to him, he was heard saying, "You're my boat. You're twice my boat. First, you're my boat because I made you. And second, you're my boat because I bought you. If you ever think you're not worth much, just remember what God thinks of you. You are His. Twice His. First, you're His because He created you. So you're His by right of creation. And second, you're His because He bought you. You're His by the right of redemption. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. A peculiar people. Does that mean different? Yes, it does. But mainly it means bought. A special possession. Bought with a price. I was going to end my message with there, but then I read the next verse. You know, it's amazing. If you study the Bible, God a lot of times will just put something before you that just makes you go, wow. So there's going to be another verse. 1 Peter 2:10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isn't that great? Lord, we thank you that you did buy us back, that you went into the world, into the marketplace. You reached down as deep as you could to us, and you pulled us out of that miry pit. You pulled us out of the life that we had. You loved us, and you bought us back to you. Lord, if that doesn't bring tears to your eyes, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't look at what we were. You didn't look at what we've done. You looked at what we were going to be in you. You began a good work in you, in us, that you're faithful to complete. Mold us and shape us, Lord, into what you want us to be. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that you bought us with your precious blood. Lord, I pray for your blessing on your people today. I pray, Lord, as we go our way, that you'd be with us. You would guide us and direct us in all things. Lord, I pray that you'd keep us safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.